Hello everyone. So we have started a series called as Ask the Mentor Live on DAMS Daily YouTube channel, where we try to take burning questions which are on the mind of medical students. We take questions regarding the exam preparation, the exam pattern, and ever-changing ideas that the government has about the exams for doctors. So today in that series, I have with me Sarah Joseph. She's from Bangalore. So Sarah, please introduce yourself before we go on with your question.
Hello everyone, my name is Sarah. I'm from Father Muller Medical College. I've just finished my final year of MBBS. I'm awaiting my results. And I've been a DAMS student since second year of MBBS. And I've written all my exams looking at DAMS notes, and they've been really helpful to me. So I would also like to convey and help you guys also use DAMS in the best way possible.
So Sarah, tell me, when you were appearing for your professional exams, and especially you are one of the batches where, 1 year got actually washed off because of the COVID. So do you think that the DAMS classes, the live classes that happened during that time and the notes that you made helped you to bridge that gap that came because of the pandemic?
Yes, sir, definitely. What happened during the pandemic was, suddenly we were told, we're shutting the college down, and we all went home. So I left home. I just left from the hostel, and I just had a backpack with me with a set of, I think, two clothes. And I left all my textbooks in the college because I thought I'd be coming back in maybe a week's time. And 1 week became 1 month, and 1 month became 9 months. And I didn't have any textbooks at home. And my saving grace was DAMS, DAMS and DAMS notes. So I had... Actually, during the pandemic, the situation was such that all the shops were closed. No stationery shop was open. So I had taken my mom's register books, like those green color books with lines, and I was making notes in those books because I didn't even have a notebook. So it was a difficult time, but I think it was DAMS was a saving grace at that time.
So Sarah, when we talk about those notes, and I think now that your notes are in your mom's notebooks, so I think they would be having a very special place in your heart. And definitely. I think that is also the question that you want to ask. Please tell me, what is the question that you want to ask for today?
I want to ask, how do we make effective notes which we can want to come back to and read? And not just notes we write once and close the book and never look at it again. Notes have to be read more than once, definitely, to enter our heads. So how do we make notes that we feel interested to read?
I definitely agree to your question, and I'll think in today's era, I will like to take this question a little bit more back, because I know many students are actually asking the question that should we actually make notes? Your question is how to make notes, but I know many students are asking a question, should we write? And I think that is one of the things that we need to highlight today. Now, what is happening is that throughout the world, it is not just in India, throughout the world, because of COVID, a massive experiment has happened where the efficacy of e-learning has been checked by millions and millions of students. Like you understand, before 2019, e-learning was a toy. E-learning tools were like a toy, and students were learning in a classroom. After 2020 pandemic, e-learning became the main thing during that time. And during that time, it has been understood that whenever you read or you listen to a recorded video, if you are not doing anything active with it, it becomes passive consumption of content. Passive consumption of content means it is similar to what you do in, for example, when you watch Netflix. Okay. So if you study as if you are watching Netflix, so when we are watching Netflix, we are not watching it to understand. We are watching it to entertain. So our yes. mind actually perceives it as an entertainment because you are not doing anything active with it. And so when you are listening to the lecture, after, your attention initially is high because you are because of the surprise factor that, okay, teacher is trying to tell you something. After a while, it is knowledge. So it is not going to be entertaining and jokes until unless a teacher is not serious enough. It cannot be 100% jokes. So a teacher would have to give you content. So your attention will start to fall down because you're not writing. So it has been proven. And today it is like a massive human experiment has happened in the last 2 years that we have all known that interactivity is the key to teaching and learning. It is not about recorded content being played. It is about interactivity where you are in a live class, and which could be face to face, or if it is on the app, it has to be a two-way interactive class. And if it is two-way interactive, a student has to not only interact, he has to write down. So my first answer to your question, which you actually did not ask, you assumed that you should make notes, but I am telling you there are students who are so confused that they think they cannot, they don't want to write notes. So what is this writing notes means? Writing notes means that when you are listening to me, like for example, Sarah, if you're right now, you know, if I teach you a concept. So when I'm teaching you, you are listening to me. You are seeing the visual that I'm showing on the screen and you're looking at what I'm writing on the screen. So you are, I have visual input. You have auditory input.
Audio input.
All this is going into your language areas and you're processing constantly. And from your language area, you're giving command to your motor area to write it down. Okay. So what you're writing down is actually not what I am telling. It is what your understanding is. So that is why it is very critical. And this applies to all competitive exams, not just NEET PG, that Sarah should write her own notes. If she photocopies my notes, so my notes will be based on my understanding method. Like for example, when I'm writing, I would write one box, put an arrow, other box, put an arrow. You might have a different way of writing. So when you read my notes, they will not speak to you in the same manner as your own handwritten notes. So the biggest fallacy that happened in the last 2 years of COVID confusion was that many students thought that it is very confusing. They said, a topper who is topping the exam is saying, I am studying my handwritten notes. The other student is saying, okay, should I buy handwritten notes? But he's I'll not buy understanding. His handwritten hand notes. Has to be yours.
True.
So, you understand or not? It is very, very critical, is very, very important to be actively engaged in the class. So what should be your, focus during the class? Even if you're sitting in a classroom or you're sitting in a live class in your home, your goal should be to interact. My suggestion to every student is that your student who is sitting next to you in the classroom or your mother who is sitting in the next room in your home should get to know that my child is studying. You should be answering at that volume. So whenever a teacher is asking you something, or even if it is on a mobile app and you're doing a live class, you should be answering, or you should be answering in the chat box. Okay. Plus you should be writing down side by side at your own pace, make your notes at that time. What will happen is the goal of this entire exercise is, have you ever seen in the last 2 years, I have seen a lot of students have gone into a perpetual loop of video watching. I don't know if you, a vicious cycle of video watching because, sir, I have seen the video once. Should I see it again? Should I see it again? Sir, I want to see it once more time. 2 days before the exam, sir, I want to see the videos once more. So my
at 2x speed and then the next request should be at 3x speed.
Then they will say, hey, sir, can you give me 3x speed, 5x speed? I am waiting for the 10x growth in these video speeds. So what is happening is, if a video is of 3 hour length, it will take you 3 hours to see it again and again, or you will keep forwarding. And if you keep forwarding, you do not know what you are missing out and what you are gaining. But if you have made notes, then you will not go to the video again and again. You will only read your notes again and again. Go to the video only if you have a trouble in the notes. Okay, so that is one part. So first thing I wanted to clarify here is that it is imperative, even in the modern era, I want to, put it on public domain that I, Dr. Sumer Sethi, I still own fountain pens. I have a pen. So you, many times you will see my hands with ink. I fill up the ink in my pen. And I am one of the final species, I think, who has a fountain pen also. I love them. Although my handwriting is not so good, but I have that old world charm about it. I like to write. So, and every time I am explaining anything to anybody, be it students, be it patients, I always have a paper and I write it down. Be it, maybe business proposal, be it, academic lesson, be it a patient's report. I take a blank page and I explain. So I believe that writing is one form of expression which gives you added tools. Like if I can explain, like a few days back, I was walking down a shopping mall and old uncle stopped me and he said, Sumer, you know, once you had reported my MRI, he said, hello, doctor. And he said, you reported my MRI. I said, I don't remember you. Keta, I remember you because you are the only radiologist who sat with me and you drew my vertebral column and showed me that, okay, this is a disc herniating, this is a nerve root getting compressed, because that is my habit. I like to explain on a paper. So those bits of paper, and many of my students of the past, many of my patients, they take that paper from me. After I have explained to them, they take that paper from me that, you know, I want to keep this pictorial reminder. So when you write down, you are speaking to the paper, and that paper will speak to you day before the exam, because it is in written by your own self. It speaks to you. That's very important. Now, how to make notes which are actually speaking to you more? Have you ever seen, Sarah, when you look at the first row in the coaching class, the first row students, which row do you sit in? First row, second row, third row, where do you sit in?
Maybe fourth row.
So like not too close,
not too back, not too close.
But you know, go to your medical college and see the first row students. You will find they will all have a multiple color set with them. You will find them, and probably you also might be having a multicolor set. Maybe you're not telling it on a video live. First thing is, have you ever seen, I was, when I was in medical college, one day I was walking down the college, between the college hostel to the library, I saw one of my batchmates was crying. And I said, why are you crying? He said, I have lost my KDT. He had lost his KDT. KDT, you know, pharma book.
Yes, sir. KDT pathway.
So he has lost his KDT book. And I said, you know, why are you so panicking? He said, it was my book. I had underlined it in multiple colors according to myself. Right before the exam, even if I purchase it, it would not have the markings that I have made. That means when you write on your notes with those multiple colors, with underlining, you are creating a mental picture which is according to your aesthetic sense and your own memory understanding sense. So that forms a pictorial memory also. So one thing that I always tell in my classes, make your notes dirty and beautiful. That means they should have your own signature on them. For example, I know some students who will write the heading red, then the important points with stars, with blue color, multiple. So that is the correct method, because you are not only building a text memory, you are building a pictorial memory. Not only the pictorial memory, it has to flow like your thought process. Now, today it is well known, and I want to tell it to all the listeners today, that all toppers in all competitive exams think in algorithmic manner. That means if this is written, this is going to be the answer. If this is not there, this is ruled out. They think in a flowchart-like manner. So if you write your notes in flowchart-like manners, it is more likely that you will be able to make that decision in the exam. MCQ exam is not about, it is not a filling the blanks. You don't need to memorize, you need to identify on the day of the exam, because the answer is written in front of you. You have four choices. So if you know how to make a decision, if you know the flow chart, that means, like I'm sure you must have heard of this in many medical colleges, your senior will tell you that in medicine book, most important thing is flow charts given in Harrison's. Flow charts.
Yes.
That means, so if you somehow, when you're making the, you will see most good teachers, especially physicians, I'm not talking about surgeons right now. Surgeons will have different set of methods of teaching, but physicians like to teach in flow charts, algorithms. Last DVT in DAMS, we named the DVT as mind map edition. So if you learn to make notes which are in arrows, like hypertension, age less than this, we will do this. Age more than this, with diabetes, we will do this. Like this, it should be algorithmic. Because in the exam, a multiple choice question will be made by these building blocks. And if you understand the flow, it will stay in your understanding area. I will again repeat, it is slightly difficult, but it's very important. Like suppose I memorize drug of choice for a young patient with hypertension is this. That is memory. But if I make a flow chart and I understand how to decide on the drugs used in this particular illness, it will not go in my hippocampus. It will go into my deep understanding in my interconnections between different areas. Now, let's try to understand. We have different areas in our brain. Like we talked about the visual cortex, the auditory cortex. Like when you are in a class, you're using all those areas, visual, auditory, understanding, motor, speech area, everything. The interconnection between these areas forms your understanding. Understanding forms your subconscious, which although you have forgotten, but it is with you when required, it can come back. Like suppose, Sarah, do you know how to ride a bicycle?
Yes, sir.
But have you, you know, done it recently or, you know, in school was the last time when you...
Yeah.
So, but if you go on a vacation and you have a bicycle, can you ride it?
Yes, definitely.
Why? It is there in your subconscious. You don't need to revise it. You don't need to revise it. So if you memorize, you will have to see it again and again. If you memorize, that is what is called as rote learning. You will have to see it again and again. But if you understand, it goes into your subconscious. It is going to stay with you. It will come out on the day of the exam. So it is important to focus on making notes which are understanding based, which are algorithmic. And if, suppose, what I used to do, I can share it with you, that I'll share it to you, a very important strategy that I used to do. What? There are two things that I used to do uniquely when I was in medical college. Whenever we make notes, we make them subject-wise. For example, you are doing medicine, you will make medicine notebook. Physiology, you will make physiology notebook. Anatomy, you will make anatomy notebook. So when I was in my medical college, in every notebook, I used to, I don't know if you, you have those multicolor sticky notes. So I used to put, oh, wonderful. I think you have the right candidate with us today. So what I used to do was, in every of my book in medicine, cardiology would have a flag of cardiology. Neurology would have a flag of neurosciences. In anatomy, neuroanatomy, cardiac anatomy would have different flags. So suppose I want to do an understanding of cardiac system, I will open the cardiac flag in all my notebooks. Understand? And that makes my understanding more 360 perspective. It is very important that most people in medical college are studying. Even if they're not telling you, they're studying. Okay.
Definitely.
Most people in medical college are fairly intelligent. So how to shine amongst all these intelligent, hardworking people? We need to have a 360 perspective of the disease. The difference between toppers and the others is, if you ask a topper about mitral stenosis, he is not only able to tell you the treatment, he is also able to think about what is happening in pathology, what is rheumatic heart disease, how will that look like on microscopy. He is also able to think on the anatomy and how the blood flow is flowing and why the murmur is happening. He has a 360 perspective of the entire organ system. But how to build that perspective in your notes? When you make notes, you make them subject-wise, but you mark the systems so that whenever you need to revise it system-wise, you can do it. And that makes it less boring also. I'm sure you know you might have experience to read the same notebook again and again, sometimes becomes boring. But if I make that those stickies, it helps. Second important thing that I've always done, and I think it is very important, is to, and I think one of our teacher in ENT, Dr. Deepak Arora, also keeps saying this, that summarize in one page. That means, suppose you read a disease like CSOM, or you read a disease like, symptom like tinnitus in ENT. So you make one pager on it, that if it is like this, then this, if the patient is age group this, but has this kind of symptom, then this, you make a one pager summary. Now these one page summaries will help you to rapidly cover on the final day. Most people are lost that how to revise in the final day. And that is what in the last DAMS DVT we did was, we made short mind maps of every subject to revise everything in the end. And that notebook can be revised in the final day or final week before the exam. Third thing is that even when you attend a class, you make notes, you make them dirty, you make them beautiful, you make them colored, everything done. Then there is a gap that needs to be exposed. I will explain it to you. So, Sarah, suppose you have attended my radiology class, you have made your notes and you have read them, you have underlined them, everything is perfect. But we all know no human communication can be 100% effective. That means even if your parent is talking to you, what the parent means and what the child understands is never 100%. Although that relationship is very close. Husband, wife, they cannot, you know, understand. Even when they are talking, 100% understanding will never happen. So when a teacher is teaching a student, again, 100% communication cannot happen. That means there will be some gaps in your understanding. Okay. Although I feel I have explained, but there will be some gaps in your understanding. Now, how will you know that there are some gaps in your understanding?
By revising it.
But, you know, have you ever seen that when we read and revise, we tend to focus on same areas again, and we tend to miss the same areas again. Now, that is the role of now doing MCQs and giving tests. Now, you will be surprised, even after understanding a subject perfectly and feeling beautifully ecstatic, wo sab samajh aa gaya mujhe. Then also, when you do the questions, you find that, oh, no, I got it wrong. I had a gap in understanding in this topic. Now, I will suggest is quickly, whenever you get a question wrong in your DQB or while giving a class test, go to that topic in the notes again and just underline it once more so that you get, oh, it was there. Maybe I understood it wrongly. Now, after this exercise, now this becomes more perfect for you. There will be still some gaps. If you are in third year, final year, and you have more time, I will also suggest that if it is a very complicated topic and you're not able to understand it at all, read it from your notes, close your notes, and then try to explain it to a mirror or to a child or your colleague in simple language. When you will be trying to explain to somebody else, if there are gaps in understanding, you will find yourself wanting for words. You understand? If I don't understand, I will not be sure what to say. And when you are open the notes again, you will find what word teacher had used. And that day it will become in your understanding. Then it will convert memory into concept. And concepts are long lasting. Memory is short lasting. Okay.
Teaching is the best form of learning.
Yes. Teaching.
Yes.
And applying. Actively applying. Yes. That means when you are in a class, if a teacher is asking question, what will you do?
Answer even the next room can hear.
Yes. So, you know, I know some students, they like to keep silent in the class, but that is not the right way. You know, I only thing that I taught my son so far, otherwise Deepthi takes care of his schooling mostly because I'm not, you know, when it comes to my own son, I'm like, yaar, tu padh lena. But Deepthi is very patient with him. But what I have, only thing I have told him is that when in your school, a teacher is asking you a question, I want you to be the person who raises his hand. Okay. He said, Papa, nahi aata hoga, galt ho gaya, koi baat nahi. I want you to try. So every time you try to answer, you try to put words to your thoughts. You understand, when I'm speaking today, I'm thinking, then I'm putting words to my thoughts and delivering it to you. That exercise exposes the gaps in my own understanding. Like you said, teaching is the best method, or interacting, answering. Every time you get a question wrong in the class, be happy about it, because you will never make that same mistake again, because now it is going to stick to you.
Yes.
Okay? So interactivity has to be fed into it. At the end of the day, most people in the exam, can you guess why most people who do not do well in the NEET PG or any competitive exam, what is the mistake that they do? What is single most important factor?
The doubt between two close answers. They don't know which one to choose.
So why would you have doubt between the two answers? Is lack of revision. But why would somebody not revise? Because when they are studying for the first time, they expand a lot without understanding that you will have to do it again in shorter time. For example, I had a batchmate in my medical college who was reading Harrison's in final year, and he was reading it like this, like Harrison's marker. Have you seen a fluorescent marker in your college? Do you have one?
Yes, yes.
Yes?
Yes, right now I don't have one.
College reading room. I'm telling you that everyone in my class was, you know, scared after seeing him. He had five colored, multiple colored markers, and he was sitting in the college library with Harrison's. Okay. In the end, but he never got a rank in any PG exam for 2 years or 3 years that he attempted. The only problem which I feel was he was reading the correct books. He was reading the gold standard Harrison's, but you cannot do it again and again.
Definitely.
So what he should have actually done was, even if he wanted to study Harrison, he should have kept it here and made notes. And then Definitely. Those notes should have been read again.
You can consolidate information from different resources into your notes.
Perfect. So the entire idea is that if I am studying this much today, it should be condensed into more high yield, smaller size booklets, which can be done again and again. So that is the goal of making notes. The goal of making notes is to make sure that you are totally alive, kicking, concentrated, mindful during the class. If you're not writing, you will sleep. I'm telling you, I don't know how people are watching videos without writing. It is impossible. It is boring. I cannot do anything without writing. Like in my office, it is a rule for my, you know, team members to keep blank papers and a pen on my table every time, because I can't speak without writing. Everything that I've done in my life, every business deal, every patient report, everything has been done with writing. Even if I'm typing it, I will explain it with diagrams. And all good doctors do it. It is not like I'm something unique. All good surgeons, all good radiologists, they would draw it for the patient. If you now look at the radiology reports that you might have seen, you will always find one or two people who would draw the, maybe if it is a fistula, they will draw a diagram and show the track of fistula, because it cannot be described in words what you can make in your notes and show it to the surgeon. It is like, so it is a skill which is not only helpful for you today, it will be helpful to you. You will see one of the most important changes that I made in DAMS when we created this category for PG coaching. Before this, teaching was done in medical colleges and not in coaching. We started this category of coaching. And first thing I told teachers was, please leave your PowerPoints at home. I don't want PowerPoints.
Yes.
You know, I said, you have to write with the students. You have to write with the students, because I want students to write. And if you are not writing, you will never know the pace of the student. And that was like 20 years back. And that has actually helped us to build the brand that DAMS is today, that we need to write. It is like, it's so Definitely. Funny. A few days back, I was walking with my son. He is in class sixth now. And he said, this teacher in my school is good and this is not good. I said, why? I'm very curious about it. So I said, why this teacher is not good? This teacher, this madam is teaching in PowerPoints and she is running very fast. This madam is writing on the board and I'm able to understand. So
yes, sir. Child this can continues understand. Even in medical school.
A child can understand what a yes. professor cannot. Many times. A child is able to follow and tell you wisdom, which we are not able to sometimes see. So writing is very important. And I'm surprised that medical college students would ask me a question, sir, should I write in the class? So I said, what else are you supposed to do? So, but I can take it toward, I'm not averse to technology, although I am a fountain pen kind of a person, but I'm not averse to technology. So suppose you say that, sir, I am a modern era student. I have an iPad or I have a Microsoft Surface or a tablet. I want to make notes on tablets and save it there in digital format. I'm okay with it. Because the principle is same, that you have a pen, digital pen, you're writing it down. The principle is same. And that is also something that I wanted to point out. Lot of students who are comfortable with technology nowadays are making notes on things like OneNote, where you can make your notes, make your different notebooks and save it in one system, carry it everywhere. Like, you remember in lockdown, you left your books, but you know, maybe if it was in your cloud somewhere in your system, you could have accessed it later on. So
I didn't have it at that time.
Yeah, but if you notice, every class I keep seeing that number keeps increasing. One or two or three or four students are making notes on a tablet. That is okay. So that is okay, because the principle remains same. Only the device is changed from the paper to a computer screen, probably more environmental friendly. Also, maybe you're writing on a computer screen. That is okay. And even
as long as they remember to back up their data.
Perfect. Yes. That also happens, actually. You're bringing out very real world situations. And
True, it's happened to me also.
And what about visuals?
I feel I'm a very visual learner. So I remember, suppose I see a question, I'll remember the diagram next to it and then remember the wordings opposite it. So for me, that dance has really helped because of the line diagrams that the teachers draw. You know, when we see a textbook, we see the diagram from the, you know, maybe an organ diagram. But if we draw it with our hand, we are drawing a schematic diagram, which is much more easier to understand and reproduce also.
Okay, Sarah, can you tell me what is the difference between a teacher teaching you a diagram and a table versus when you see it on the book and the same, I'll explain it to you. And I have actually, you know, I've done a lot of, you know, say thinking on it. The difference is, so suppose this is a table that I'm drawing in front of you. When you see this table or a diagram in the book, it is already made. Okay, it is already made. And it is an overload of information that comes to you. When a teacher makes it, he opens it one by one, one by one. So he is unfolding the image or the anatomy for you. I hope you understand. Like same table, if
he's
it
breaking
is
down the
you,
information.
You understand? So if I give you an image of anatomy of the brain, you will see in your Netter's Atlas, it would have maybe 100 labels on that image. And as soon as the brain sees it, it's like it's overpowering. So if you notice my DAMS radiology workbook, if you have attended my class, you would see.
Yes, sir.
In that, you will have an image of the brain, but nothing labeled on it. And we will label it together. So I will put one arrow. So there is no information overload happening for your brain. We will write one thing. Then one more arrow, we will write one more thing. So there is no information overload happening. So I strongly recommend that people who are using tablets or iPads to make notes, so you can always do a very small technique. Like you take your own tablet, okay, or a phone. You can take a picture from Netter's Atlas. Take a picture. Take that picture on OneNote and then label it your own self.
Yes.
That is what teachers do. That is what DAMS does. So what we are doing is total common sense. But many people think that, okay, sir, some magic is happening. Nothing magic. It's all common sense. We take an image, put it for you, and then we label it together. When we label it together, it is being unfolded. I believe that the role of teacher is not to tell you facts. The role of teacher is to tell you how to think. Not to tell you what is it. I have to tell you how to think and reach to that point. So when we unfold the tables together, when we unfold the diagrams together, like you said, that in the book, the diagram is already made. When the teacher makes it with you, he is going line by line, layer by layer. So he is unfolding it in front of you. It is just like a live demonstration of a body being dissected in the anatomy DH hall. It's like, suppose you are dissecting with your own hand in your medical college. You will learn it more. Or like you must have seen in dissection hall in college also. Some students, they come at the end of it. You know, after everything has been done, they will say, oh, mujhe dikha de kahan pe nerve hai, kahan artery, you know, like, can I see this? So what will happen? They will never understand how the layers have been there. So they will not understand the true relationships, what is anterior, what is posterior, because you're trying to see it 2D. But when you do it yourself, you unfold it in 3D manner, and that stays with you for life.
Definitely.
So I hope, you know, this gives you the perspective that is needed. Like I'll give you an example that when I was in my medical college, I was one person who would always do the dissection myself. In my table, I would do the dissection. I was very excited about it.
Yes, sir. Same, sir. Yeah. For 1 year, I was smelling like formalin because I was elbow deep into the body.
Yeah, but at that time, you know, you might also feel a little bit judged by your colleagues and peers who might say, "Bahut hyper hai, isko bahut kaam." You know, so, you know, some of them would be, you know, talking, you know, some of them would be, you know, maybe making some relationships around and everything would be happening. You are the one who's dissecting. So, you know, you might feel like a fool at times, actually. But the truth is, what you do with your own hand is forming. Again, the same thing is happening. You are unfolding. It is forming concepts in your mind, 3D picturing, because most people struggle in anatomy because anatomy or even in surgery, because you have to think in three dimensions. I don't know if you have seen a web series called as Good Doctor on the
Netflix. Seen it.
So when in that series, you will see every time he sees a case or a pathology, he's able to visualize, and immediately they show you a 360 picture. that, okay. And he's able to see it, others are not able to see it. Problem is, most people, they are thinking two-dimensional or textual while anatomy is three-dimensional. That is where the skills like dissecting in your medical colleges are critical. And I would feel that it should be a struggle. Everybody should be saying, I want to do it, I want to do it. While actual speaking, it is tu kar. And no, you understand, while it is a very valuable skill and it will stay with you for life, whatever you've done. So I think, you know, Sarah, when I talk to you, I feel that you must be one of the toppers in your medical college. Tell me more about it.
I wouldn't say I'm a topper, sir. I've not failed so far, touch wood. But yeah, humble, I would say humility. Maybe. I wouldn't say I'm in the top, not a topper, but I'm happy with how I'm performing.
And what do you want to do in life later on?
So right now, like, I'm trying to rule out fields because I like everything. So it's a process of ruling out. So maybe once I join internship, I'll know better. But I do like surgery a lot. And I like, so far, all the postings that I've gone to, I've really enjoyed. So now I think it's just a process of ruling out an internship.
So what I'll tell you is that even that is a correct approach. Now, what happens is I see a lot of students would be having a fixed mindset in your third year or second year itself that I want to become this doctor or this surgeon. Let it unfold. The entire philosophy that I have is that there is, you know, something planned for you by God. Let it unfold. So when you will reach your internship, things will unfold for you. And there will be some departments where you will feel that I belong here. And there will be some departments where you will feel, yahan kabhi dobara nahi aana. You understand? So you will be able to find that department in internship better. You know, sometimes it happens to you in final year, but if you're not still able to pick it up, that is okay. You know, it's like you have to understand your subconscious nudge that would happen during that process. And that makes internship important. Yeah. That internship is not only about learning basic skills. It is also about understanding where you belong.
Yes, sir. True.
So let us summarize what we have learned today is making notes is important. Attending a live class actively is important, where you are also writing down rather than, you know, sitting and looking at the teacher like this. When you keep looking at the teacher, finally, either the teacher will sleep or you will sleep. You have to, you know, in between, write down, look at the board. You have to be active. But entire of your body language in the class should be active. I keep telling people about one of the experiences that I had was, I think 3 years back or 4 years back, I don't remember exactly, one boy topped the AIMS exam. And as soon as he topped the AIMS exam, we shared his photographs all over our social media platform. He was a DAMS 3 year, 4 year student. And after I shared the photographs, all the teachers sent me a message. Arre, hume pata tha, ye toh top karega. And I was surprised that, you know, in DAMS, there are thousands and thousands of students studying. And I said, sabko kaise pata tha? And I could not pick it up. Then I thought, ki mujhe bhi pata hai, lekin ye bachcha toh hoshyar hai. I don't know how I know. And then when we later on met, I met other teachers, and I ultimately, we all concluded that he was a boy with a very aggressive body language in the class. What would happen in the classes? In the class, it was between him and the teacher. Everybody else was, you know, there, but he was always like writing down. He had a pen. Okay, now suppose I am saying something, but he has not understood. He's like, no, sir. No, sir. And, you know, even if he's at the back of the seat, you see somebody shaking his head, you are again repeating. Then if he's understood, and if you really make him happy by explaining a concept that he never thought could be explained, and you would be like, on the table, like, so it would be very aggressive. And there
excitement
would be
people to learn.
Excited to learn, yes. And second is, definitely there will be students sitting around him who would be judging him because of his, behavior, you know, that would happen. But the truth is, more engaged you are in the class. So if you notice, he was not only engaged with his visual, auditory, writing area, his total body language was engaged into the class. It was about the class. It was about him and the teacher. Every teacher could recognize him at this photograph itself, because everybody had made eye contact with him. it was not because of teacher's effort, it was because of his efforts. He was so excited to learn. And I believe that is the key in the classroom, mindfully learning, making notes in a way that will help you to revise later on, making them pictorial, making them algorithmic, making them like a mind map so that you can see them again, summarize them into smaller pages for final review, then put flags of, you know, index it according to your own viewpoint. Like my viewpoint is I want to do it subject wise and system wise both. So I would make flags like that. That always helps. And always remember, keep reminding yourself that you will have to revise your study material, your notes, at least 2 to 3 times in the end. So that is only possible if you make notes. You have to cut that urge of watching the video again and again. Watching the video again and again is just like an addiction. You know, I met some students who said, "Sir, I want to make sure that I have your video till the last day of my exam." मैं बोला आखिरी दिन क्या सुनेगा मेरे को, कई बार तो सुन लिया तूने। कहते नहीं सर, आखिरी दिन फोन जेब में होगा ना, उसमें होगा। मैंने कहा वो तो एग्जाम में बाहर रखवा देंगे। कहते नहीं सर, होना चाहिए। You understand? So that addiction of having the video inside has to be curbed, and you have to be sure that okay, I'm happy with my notes. I've understood it. I will read them again and again. If you read the notes, then radiology as a subject you can actually cover in 2-3 hours. If you have made your notes in the classes, multiple revisions can be done in 2-3 hours. But if you listen to video again and again, it will take you 30 hours. So that kind of investment, that pyramid of time efficiency improves. That means you study for 1 year, but in the end, 1 month, one revision, 20 days, one more revision, 10 days, one more revision can be done if you have made notes. So that is the critical part. And I think all those things that you make fun of in others are very important. Colored pens, very, very important.
Yeah.
Highlighters, very, very, very important. Often I have seen, I remember what I had highlighted in my books, in my medical college also, I remember what I highlighted in Robbins, because every textbook, there will be a few lines which are important. So what I highlight are like what I want to see again and again. So in your notes, if you highlight things, it will help you to form a pictorial memory. In the exam, you might remember from your second prof also, it was not KDT mein likha hai. It was KDT mein, meri KDT mein yahan pe likha hai. Because it was a picture, that image is imprinted on your brain.
It pops up from the page.
It pops up, yes. And it is always about understanding, not about memory. So try making notes which are optimum for understanding. For that is flowcharts. That is what I believe should make the maximum impact for you. And use, if you are using digital tools, maybe writing notes. I believe in near future, almost everybody will be writing notes on tablets, because that makes it one tablet having all your books with you. That is possible. That's
again a good point. Ability to change it also. You know, you can easily, without scratching and adding extra points.
One thing I would like to add, but that is important, that even in notes, you will have urge to infinitely add. That also needs to be stopped. Like what will happen is, suppose I have taught you my subject, you have made notes, you have done the MCQs, anything you wanted to add or subtract, you have done. Thereafter, you know, do not keep adding everything that you come across into those. Because as a medical student, you may not know what is really important for you. Medical science is infinite and you will keep discovering something or the other. But if you keep adding it, the volume will increase. And the entire purpose of the notes that was made under guidance of a teacher gets defeated. So, you know, you understand. So adding in the initial go, you should add it, but then you should draw a line. Because when I talk to you, I know you are that topper kind of a student, perfection, want to add more and more, more and more. Then what if your notes become bigger than Harrison, then what is the fun?
Yes.
I hope that also important. Conciseness and crispness of the notes is very important.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So because to expand is very easy. You know, many people can make essays and essays and essays, but to summarize it is the key. And that is what is needed for exams. You know, we have to, like, one thing that I tell in radiology is that when you see a radiology report, it would have a big body, and then ultimately somebody has to summarize in the end that this is my conclusion. Some people, even in conclusion, will have similar length like 2 pages of report, 2 pages of conclusions. Then I said, I think nobody has understood anything. In conclusion, you have to write, finally, what do you feel is it? What are the differentials? And what do you want to advise further? So
yes.
Summarizing is an art. So don't forget, the purpose of the notes is to save your time. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Agree? So then if you keep permanently adding everything, you know, sometimes you're sitting on YouTube, somebody saying, okay, add this, keep adding. Ultimately, the radiology book is bigger than Harrison book. So then in the end, in the exam, you have to be smart. There are going to be 200 questions. Maybe radiology will give you 8 questions. So maybe, and in those 8 questions, probably everything was already there when you had those class notes and you added some unnecessary things at that stage. Now, important thing is that those definitions would change with stage. When you become a MD, you need to know more. When you become a consultant, you need to know more. But when you are an MBBS student, you need to know till a certain level.
I think maybe adding more information will dilute the content.
Adding infinitely more is not right. Some things is okay. I'm okay with the idea. Okay. Because I've seen this happen to one or two students who came to me with a notebook and he said, sir, this is the notes that I made of your class. And sir, I have, it is there in the notes, but it is wrong. I said, maine to padhaya nahi, tune likh kaise liya? Kehta, sir, mujhe yaad hi nahi kya ab is notebook mein aapne kya padhaya tha, maine kya likha hai. You understand? So when you keep adding in the notes multiple times, you will not even remember what was taught by the teacher and what you have collected from a XYZ resource. So now authenticity also becomes difficult sometimes to follow. And some things are controversial. So, you know, he's saying, sir, notes mein likha hai. Maine toh likhwaya nahi tha. Oh, sir, mujhe yaad hi nahi ki, sir, maine kahan se kya likh diya. So that part that is also important, that you should be able to trust your notes.
True. Yes, sir.
So I think we had a great discussion and I think a very, very important topic, and I'm happy that you picked it up. So, sir, I want to wish you all the best. And
thank you for the session.
Yes. And I want you to promise me that this is not the last session that you will do with me after your results.
Hopefully we can do more results. Yeah, sure, sir.
I will ask you a questions and you will tell us.
Yes,
okay. Well, aim for the best. Aim to do the best possible in your exams. Aim to get into the best possible institutes. Aim for excellence and, you know, keep fighting. I wish you all the best, bache.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Best of luck, bache.